Grace, mercy,
and peace be yours from God our Father
and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Excusez-moi.
You ever heard that phrase before? Excusez-moi. It's a French phrase, not an English phrase, and the fact that we switch to French sometimes means that something different is happening that makes us say something weird or something unusual. Excusez-moi. We might say it when we're surprised, we're startled, maybe even a bit skeptic. Like when anything, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Excusez-moi. I think of Nathanael today in our text, his response to hearing that some of his brothers and his friends in his own hometown has found Jesus of Nazareth, the one that Moses and the prophets spoke of a long time ago. Excusez-moi. And then, when he's coming to Jesus, after being beckoned by his brother, come and see, come and see. Okay, fine. Then his response when Jesus says, oh, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. And he says, excusez-moi, how do you know me? That gets to the point of today's text. It really does. There are these epiphany moments in time when we start to doubt, but then see something glorious, hear something wonderful that makes us realize that there's more to this world than what we see and think. There's an uncanny knowledge that some people have, especially Jesus here in our text. This is an epiphany. For then he says to Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Excusez-moi? It's an epiphany. How could he know that? How could Jesus know about him sitting under the fig tree? It seemed like Nathanael knew that only I knew that. Nobody else knew that. Maybe Philip, but how does he know? And that, my friends, is an epiphany. That's that aha moment when you realize that Jesus is something more than meets the eye. We heard about it last week in his baptism. Those who were there seeing the heavens open and the Spirit falling on Jesus like a dove, hearing that voice that said, this is my Son, listen to him. If you heard that, you'd be like, aha, God is real. Nathanael today gets the epiphany moment. Aha, this man has uncanny knowledge. He knows something that nobody else should know. And I think it also teaches us something about Jesus and who he is. Even though Jesus emptied himself, humbled himself, and became a man, born of a virgin, born under the law, is human just like us in every way, he also has the divine attributes, and he carries them with him all the time, never gets rid of them, including, like God, omniscience. He knows all things. Omnipresence. God is everywhere. Jesus really is everywhere. All-powerful, like he is the creator. It did say in John's gospel, through him all things were made. Jesus is truly one with him who is omniscient, omnipotent, omni-everything. The result
when Nathanael heard about Jesus and encountered him and had this excusez-moi moment,
it turned into something else that we say as Lutherans when we read the small catechism a lot. It says, this is most certainly true. Nathanael turned, said to Jesus, when he realized who Jesus really is, just like Philip had told him, he says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He gave a confession. He confessed something about who Jesus is. And God wants to hear that. He wants to hear our confession. He wants to hear about who his Son is. He gave him for a purpose that we might know him. And Nathanael, blessed Nathanael, got to confess, you are the Son of God. Nathanael also, I think,
is a perfect example of something that we teach and believe.
Is that apart from God doing something, especially in his Son, Jesus, that no one will really come to the knowledge of the truth without God. Nathanael's a perfect example. He would just stay skeptical. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Oh, just because you told me this, why should I believe it? But when Jesus reveals some knowledge to him that he knows and reveals an epiphany, aha!
Now he believes. And really, this is how God works. By nature, the Scripture teaches us, we are dead in our trespasses. And we're not going to come to the knowledge of God on our own. It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that God calls, gathers, enlightens us to believe and to confess his truth. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians, no one says Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The result of God revealing his Son and his Word today through our baptism and through our confession, through our Word, the result for us too is to confess. To say with Nathanael, to say with the whole Christian church throughout the world, you are God, O Jesus. You are the King of Israel. You are my Savior. You are my friend. You are my Redeemer, my Savior. You are my all, my everything. That's what we are blessed to see too, because we've had that aha moment when we listen to God's Word and the Spirit works in us. We've had our baptism. All these things work together to teach us to believe, to help us believe, because without God's Spirit working in us, we are lost. As Jesus once said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, when I saw that picture in your bulletin today of Nathanael sitting underneath the fig tree, I thought of someone else. I thought of Isaac Newton. Remember Isaac Newton? He's the one that researched gravity, right? It was rumored, don't know if it's true or not, but it was rumored that he was sitting underneath a tree, an apple tree. And when did he start thinking about and pondering what makes things fall? After an apple fell and hit him on the head, right? Maybe that's kind of an example, too, of what it's like for a Christian to believe. We'd just be sitting under trees and going on about life just fine, everything, disbelieving, skeptical of all things like Nathanael, until God does something. God reveals, makes a revelation of his glory here on earth in his word for us, so that the result is that we do confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, that we believe in his cross and his open tomb for all people, that we come to the knowledge of the truth, and God be pleased and praised. What makes us confess that God is real and Jesus is Lord? Not an apple, a different fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, working that good confession that Jesus Christ is Lord in us. What will make these 14 people, 13 new members in all, come forward today and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and join our communion here at Praise? It's not Pastor Roberts. I'm just a sinner. I've got flesh and blood just like everybody. I'm not even John the Baptist. It's not me. It's not our church building. We like it, but we're kind of weird that way, right? We kind of like our building. We put a lot of sweat, time, and work into it, so we like it. We want to keep it up. We're like, oh, we love this. We could be somewhere else and still be praising. It's not the promise. This is not the reason why people come up today. Not the promise of a potluck after church, right? Even though the food may be wonderful, there's probably better restaurants out there with professional chefs like Christopher and other people like that. Can really make a good meal. We could all go there instead. But why do people come here and come forward today? It's not because of the food, even though it's probably great food. So what does draw the people here to Praise Lutheran? It's God's Word. Taught in such a way that it's pure to the law and the gospel of God as revealed in Holy Scripture. That's what Luther's Catechism teaches. Believe the Word. Every other book is just either help or hurt. God's Word is true. Listen to the law. Realize you're a sinner. Realize how good God is. He's a Savior. He saves you from sin. He forgives you all your sins. Listen to that Word. Believe the Word. Music, maybe, too, that might draw people to us. Right, Tammy? The music that is faithful to the gospel, faithful to God's word, that draws people too. It's not like Christian radio stations in here, is it? It's a little different. That's okay because God speaks to us in a different voice. We're in but not of the world. It can be different. It's okay. Sacraments administered according to the word of God. Baptism, the Lord's Supper that we celebrate today, all those things draw and gather us because the Holy Spirit works in them. Finally, the communion of saints, you might say too. not just the Lord's Supper, but also this communion out here, all of you together, the Spirit that's in us that draws others to us to say, hey, just like Philip told Nathaniel, come and see. Come see our church. Come see what we have, this treasure. It's not our own. We're just sinners. I don't know why it's even here, but God has worked good here that we might believe it and say, aha, aha, God is that good. He's good for me, for you, for the whole world. Let's tell others that they too might join and know of this treasure, which is hidden out here in the hinterlands of Merrillville. The final portion of good news today comes from our text. After Nathanael confessed Jesus as Son of God, King of Israel, Jesus replied, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You see, dear friends, God doesn't want us to just have faith in the here and now and what we see and hear and behold and go, aha. God also wants us to have faith in those things which He promises are to come. Faith in the promises that are to come. It's not enough just to believe in the things now and say, yep, I believe everything I see right now. The kind of faith that God works through His Word is to believe in that which is to come, the future, which is to see God in heaven, to dine at His banquet table, to see God, the angels surrounding the throne, all the elders and all the church gathered, one great communion there before God in heaven, worshiping Him with palm branches, white robes, the whole glory of heaven, to believe in that even now, which helps us in this life. Don't just believe in the here and now. Believe also in the future, that trust in God's Word in the past, in the present, and in the future. It's for you. Hence what it means to be a Christian, a follower. Trust in the Messiah then, trust in the Messiah now, and trust in the Messiah to come with the angels. No, excusez-moi. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.